invite you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. As we come to this third message and final message, at least for this time, regarding hell and the lake of fire. In Matthew chapter 25, our Lord tells about judgment that's coming, and he doesn't tell everything about the judgment as far as detail, but he does tell about a separation that there will be, a division that there will be between the Lord's people and those that are against the Lord, not his people. And he says here in verse number 41 of Matthew chapter 25, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And so here the Lord tells that there is a departing from him. There is a cursing from the Lord. There is a place of everlasting fire, and it is initially prepared for the devil and his angels. And we've looked at many things regarding hell and the lake of fire, not really making a distinction between them, but just seeing what the Lord says overall. I think it can be argued that they would be a separate place, a different place. I think it could be argued that they are the same place, but a different reference towards that place at the end. And I'm not dogmatic about that in any way. We see here that the Lord said that this place is prepared for the devil and his angels. It's prepared by God. Hell and the lake of fire is the Lord's place. It's not Satan's place that he has built. And we need to know that hell, the lake of fire, is not the headquarters of Satan from which he works his wickedness. Understand, and I've reviewed these things in each message, and I think it's appropriate, the world feeds us a lot of information just subtly that can overcome our thinking or cloud our thinking about even these things. Understand, Satan is not the Lord's agent in hell tormenting sinners. Satan is not there poking sinners with his pitchfork and that in hell. Hell and the lake of fire is a place of torment for him and for those angels that followed after his way. In each of these times, and in this time also, we want to mention about incorrect terminology. Go to hell. Anybody that understands about hell would never tell anybody to go to hell. We have from the Word of God that even those that are there do not want their loved ones or anyone to go to hell. No one who knows the truth about hell wants anyone to go there. No one in hell wants anyone to come there. It is that terrible of a place. There has been mentioned about things or beings coming out of hell. There's nothing that comes out of hell. Once those are placed in hell, other than that which the Lord will call up the dead from hell for judgment to then be cast into the lake of fire, there are no bats or anything else that come out of hell. Hell is a place, the place of divine judgment of our Lord. And along with that, we've heard brethren say that this so-and-so is a lie out of hell or a lie out of the pit of hell. No such thing. There are no lies that come out of hell. That smacks of that, of it being Satan's headquarters and where evil and wickedness is conjured up. It's not the case. It does not happen. Hell and the lake of fire are not the eternal playground of wickedness. No racing tracks, no alcohol, no partying in hell. It is a place of divine judgment and wrath of God Almighty poured out upon sinners. Again, the only thing that has come out of hell that we know in the Scriptures has been the truth. The truth has come out of hell from an inhabitant there mentioned in the Scripture. We've heard brethren and others maybe say that something is as wicked as hell. Hell is not wicked. Hell is the eternal repository for the wicked. But hell itself is not wicked. Again, it's the divine, righteous indignation of God. They're God's creation, the place of his eternal judgment upon sinners. It is the place, again, where the wicked are placed. His internal indignation upon sinners there. It is that final repository for the wicked, wicked and unrepentant sinners. The Scripture makes that very clear. And I am of the opinion, and I've mentioned this to you, that there is sin no more practiced in hell. Maybe there is that weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. We know that hell, those in hell, do have their memory and can remember the things that they experienced and enjoyed on this earth. But I believe that the Lord has quelled sin in hell, in the lake of fire, and that sin will be practiced no more. We see that the lake of fire is burning with brimstone. We've reviewed. As I mentioned, that there is memory in hell, that there's torment in hell in the lake of fire. This, and Brother Mark had mentioned about a way to describe hell in the lake of fire. If you could take all the pain, all the suffering, all of that which mankind has experienced and place that upon one person, hell is worse than that. Hell is indeed worse than that. It's unimaginable how terrible hell is. We've taken a look that the second death is the lake of fire. It is that place of dying twice, eternally, a body fitted for destruction, as we'll see and we'll touch, that is there dying forever but never able to get the job done. The Lord does have the power over death. And those that are raised up and called in that resurrection of the damned, the dead, will live forever, experiencing death forever, and that's all by the control of the Lord. There's no agent that invokes this upon people. It is the Lord's punishment. We looked last time about the condemnation of hell, and we want to mention about incorrect terminology here. Some have heard, and this is by those who curse and swear, that they would say that they would be damned. No, understanding the condemnation of hell, if they truly would understand, no one would even dare even jest or joke about being damned themselves. Don't damn yourself. Don't damn another. Because that is the reference, that is the point of reckoning of this term, is the condemnation of hell upon sinners. Sometimes euphemisms come in and we make things kind of lighter. Well, I'll be darned. It's the same thing. It's just a replacement for damnation. Will you be? I guarantee you, if you truly understand, you don't want to be. I'll be darned here in Kentucky. That might be something that would be adopted. Anyone who truly understands the condemnation of hell and the lake of fire would not even consider damning anyone to those places, much less themselves. So don't use that terminology, because understand the connection and the reference to it. We come to this last section here, and just something that has come to mind, and I'm not dogmatic about it in any wise, but I just want to present it unto us and look to the scriptures. My background and my college training is, as you know, is with furnaces and kilns and such as that, the designing of those. And one thing that we would ask about this process of firing or using extreme heat in manufacturing equipment such as that is, how is it fired? How is it fired? You can have furnaces and kilns that are fired by gas or by fuel oil. You can have, as it was in days gone by in this region, would have had them, probably quite a lot of them back in the day, beehive kilns where face brick used in the South, you know, because the abundance of clay, beehive kilns were used to fire that kind of face brick used for veneer and buildings and even otherwise, glazed brick and such, where they would be fired with wood back in the early days or with coal, and they would fire those things. Or we can have in our day, which is prevalent, and it's the case with some of what Brother Doug uses in the manufacturing that the company he works for, electric-fired furnaces and electric-fired kilns. Well, I pose the question, how is hell fired? What is the source of the power, the energy, the fire that is there in hell? That's our consideration this morning. In Luke chapter 3, In Luke chapter 3, we come to this in the day of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 3, in verse number 7, the Lord Jesus Christ says here, then the scripture says, Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, rather John the Baptist, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And this wrath is indeed that of hell. How is it fired, this wrath to come, this place of eternal damnation and torment for sinners? One would say, well, Brother Jim, I thought it was fire and brimstone. And we saw how it is in the lake of fire that it is fire and brimstone that's mentioned there. But I want us to go back to Genesis chapter 19 and remember an account here. And the detail of this is interesting. And see where the source, and be reminded of where the source of this destruction came from. You know, the three come to Brother Abraham there in Canaan, and Lot has separated himself from Abraham some time ago and is going towards Sodom, towards those well-watered plains. The three come to Abraham, one, I believe, a pre-incarnation appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, obviously, and two angels, and they come and they visit with Abraham, and they are there with him. And then as the Lord begins to leave and head towards Sodom, he says, shall I not share with Abraham what I plan to do? He's told him he's going to be back according to the time of life. Sarah's going to conceive, all those things. He said, shall I not tell him what I'll do? And he does go back and he tells Abraham what he plans to do regarding Sodom and the wicked and the evil that has come up before him regarding such. Abraham intercedes, does he not? He knows his nephews down there and his family. And he brings the Lord, he submits to the Lord. If there's 10 righteous, will you not spare it? And as we know, if you know the account, and I trust that you do, sad to say, there were not even 10 that were righteous in the city. A great city, great cities there, three cities, as we're told, two cities, and then other cities near and to it, three of great note. And then we see here that the Lord begins to judge this city. In verse number 23 of Genesis 19, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar, where he fled to. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, and those cities of the plain, as the scripture tells us, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. Brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. How is hell fired? In Revelation chapter 20, we go all the way to the other end of the, we'll just go ahead and get that done. I've been accused of preaching from cover to cover, and we'll just go ahead and get that done in this message. That's not a bad thing. I take it as a compliment. Here at the end, after the 1,000-year reign of our Lord, after time is going to be done, we see here in Revelation chapter 20, that Satan is loosed for a little season and goes out to deceive the nations in the four quarters of the earth. And it says in verse number 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city, that is Jerusalem, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So here, this is future tense about how it will be when Satan is loosed from the bottomless pit and is allowed to go amongst those that have come up during the millennial reign, he will deceive them. They are depraved. There is no help or salvation for them from the Lord. Even having experienced the blessings of the Lord for 1,000 years, they will be deceived. And our Lord sends fire down from heaven and devours them. In Isaiah chapter 66, we come to a very interesting verse here. This verse has always intrigued me and how this will be. In Isaiah chapter 66, how is hell fired? In Isaiah 66, speaking of some of those things that are mentioned also in the book of the Revelation, we see in verse number 15, For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh. And that word plead does not mean he's begging anyone. It's talking about judgment. It's talking about vindication or punishment. To litigate between men in the final end. You're guilty and this is what you have coming. And make a distinction between the damned and his people. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. So we see here in the judgment of the Lord, and in these cases, indeed, that fire is mentioned and brimstone mentioned there regarding Sodom. And we ask the question again, how is hell fired? Well, let us consider the attributes of our Lord, some attributes of our Lord, or as we would say, physical attributes of the Lord. Back in Exodus chapter 3, do you remember this? In Exodus chapter 3, Moses has fled from Egypt. He's on the backside of the desert there in Midian, and he's keeping his father-in-law's sheep, and something that Moses sees gets his attention. In Exodus chapter 3, verse number 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. So we see here the Lord appearing in that bush, that flame that was in that bush, yet it not being consumed unto our brother. We come later on down in Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. And there is this, that Moses is up on the mount for such a long time, and the people of the Lord, the Israel, sin against the Lord and these things. While Moses is up there receiving the law from the Lord and such as that. Let me get to the right chapter. He comes down and he intercedes for them and all those things. And he goes back up. And in Exodus chapter 33, we see this starting in verse 18. And Moses, having spent this time with the Lord and being blessed in that way, he says, and he said, I beseech thee, Exodus 33:18, I beg thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, the Lord says unto Moses, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. What is it that the Lord told Moses? He says, no man can see me and live. For there shall no man, verse 20, see me and live. And I believe that the Lord was appearing to Moses there in the mount in the greatness of his glory in that. He said, "You won't live, Moses, if you see my face. If you see all of my glory," and that is focused there to where that would be the case, "you won't be able to live. But what I'll do is I'll put you in this cliff of the rock, and as I pass by, you'll be able to see my hinder parts." Now, what happened to Moses when he came down from the mount? He shined, didn't he? Or he glowed. He had to wear something over his head so he wouldn't make afraid the people of Israel because of that glory that had shone upon him. The Lord said, "If you see all of it, you'll die." But what glory he was exposed to, it caused him to shine. The attributes of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 17, we come to this time here where the Lord Jesus Christ has become a man and he's lived. He's in the midst of his ministry. And we want to be reminded of this in Matthew chapter 17. We pick it up in verse number 1. "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them." What's it say? "And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light." Now understand that the Lord can do anything. And here the Lord has taken his glory, and the Lord Jesus Christ, being 100% man, yet 100% God, has taken his glory and kind of, I don't know how else to say it, but pulled it back so it wouldn't be seen by men, and men wouldn't be affected by it. But here on the Mount of Transfiguration, our Lord allowed it to shine, I believe, some. Okay, I believe some. It says, as bright as the sun. Can you look at the sun? Well, if you look at the sun, you're going to be found blind. Can you imagine this white light that was the radiance of our Lord? They knew it was the case, but to be able to look on it steady, I wonder if they were even able to do so. They write this in the Gospels at the directive of our Lord to tell us about this breaking forth of the glory of God. When the Lord was transfigured, he allowed some of his glory to shine. Brother John, on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation chapter 1, how is hell fired? On the Isle of Patmos, he's exiled there by the authorities, and the Lord reveals himself unto our brother. In Revelation chapter 1, verse number 12, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass," what? "As they burn in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." I tell you what, the glory of the Lord's something else, isn't it? Isn't the glory of the Lord great? It says his countenance, that of his face and his appearance was as the sun, shineth in his strength. You know, we had some hot days back this year. And on those hot days when the sun was at high noon, I mean, if you tried to look at that sun, again, it would blind you, wouldn't it? And it was intense to be out in that sun. It would heat you up pretty quick. And our brother says that that's the way the Lord shined. That's the way the Lord shined. We come over here to Hebrews chapter 10. How is hell fired? In Hebrews chapter 10, our brother, by the Lord, of course, by the inspiration of the Lord, speaks to us as children and speaks to us about what we should do, especially here, we who are now in this church age, of course, when this was written, that in the Lord's church we are to draw near. In chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse number 22, we are to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, remembering that the Lord is faithful in every way. In verse number 24, let us consider one another to provoke to love and good works. We need to consider our brothers and sisters in Christ and be a provoker to love and good works one of another. That nourishment that we need, that encouragement that we need, that witness that we need one of another. He speaks about, and these things will only be possible if we assemble. Not forsake assembling, but assemble with one another. Here in the times appointed by the church for the services at hand, and then also in fellowshipping, I believe, one with another. He speaks here about willful sin in verse number 26. And listen to what the scripture says. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. And don't be confused, the Lord is not talking about the losing of salvation, but he's talking about the chastisement of the Lord for his children. This is the Lord's love for his people, and this is how our God, you know, parents just need to get honest with children sometimes, don't they? And just need to get real plain and get real honest. This is the Lord just getting plain and honest with you and me. If we sin willfully against our Lord, we can expect his chastising hand and countenance and presence upon us. For if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. See, my sins past that I sin were forgiven, and there's no chastisement of the Lord for those. It's all covered by the Lord. My state is changed in that I stand before the Lord as his child, being eternally secure in Christ. Okay, am I in jeopardy of being cast into hell? No, but I've got to face that wickedness, that sin that I've sinned against my Lord. Listen, for there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. My whipping from the Lord, if there were adversaries present, they would be destroyed. But as a child of God, I won't be destroyed. I will be chastised and refined and be made to draw nearer to my Lord. See that? He says here, fiery indignation. That's fiery wrath and judgment from the Lord. Chastisement. I said, Jim, that seems awful severe. It is severe for the child of God to willfully sin against his Lord. It is severe. It is severe. But understand our place. We will not be destroyed because we're secure in Christ. We're, if you will, we are equipped in Christ. Okay? We are equipped, provided for in Christ because of Christ. But if an adversary, who is our adversary? Satan, he would be destroyed. See, understand part of what the Lord does for us in salvation is that ultimately he'll make us to where we'll be able to stand there with him. We'll be able to be in his glory. And he works on us now, and he will bring us to himself. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Hear that? Shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Death. Of how much sorer punishment suppose ye that he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant, listen, wherewith he was sanctified or set apart, an unholy thing, and hath done despite in the spirit of grace. When you and I trample our Lord and do despite to the spirit of grace that has worked in us, willfully sinning against our Lord, it's some fiery indignation that'll come our way because our Lord loves us. He will not tolerate that being done. It could even be for the child of God that the Lord would even take him out of this life, willfully sinning against the Lord. So we have this reference here. Down in the chapter, verse 29, or chapter 12 rather, further in the book, we see this. This is kind of the culmination of these references and our brother writing that I see. Verse 29, Hebrews 12, 29. For our God is a consuming fire. But you know what? For the children of God, we are made and will be made to where the consuming fire of our Lord will not consume us, but will the adversary. It will the unrepentant. It will the unbeliever. It will the wicked, but not you and me. We've got much to be thankful to our Lord for salvation full and free. Our God is a consuming fire. I wonder, as the brother wrote and the Lord pressed upon him, if he didn't remember those things that we've read in the Old Testament. See, there's bodies that will be prepared for eternity. In Romans chapter 9, take a look here. In Romans 9, we're heading towards verse number 22. In Romans 9, the scripture says, Romans chapter 9, what if God, willing to show his wrath, okay, he's showing his wrath, and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. See, there's bodies prepared for eternity. Here, the terminology used is a vessel of wrath fitted to destruction. A vessel made that will be able to be there and suffer in the continual wrath and indignation of God forever in the lake of fire. He's bearing long with them, just in the strictest sense of the overall plan and work of God. He's just bearing long with them, the children of Satan, if you will. He is. Now, who are they? You and I don't know. And we're commanded of our Lord, as a brother pointed out in Sunday school class, the Lord uses means, that's you and me, to spread his gospel and spread his truth and spread his word. What did John the Baptist preach? Flee the wrath to come. Because the wrath is coming. The wrath is coming. And only through Christ can you be delivered. Can you and I be delivered? Vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. Listen, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. That's the saved. A vessel of mercy. A vessel that didn't pour out that wrath, or will not pour out that wrath upon us. Not a vessel fitted for destruction, but a vessel of mercy. Jesus took that for me. Jesus did not go to hell, but he paid my hell in lake of fire there on the cross of Calvary. Bodies prepared for eternity. In 1 John chapter 3, we read this. In 1 John chapter 3, verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. You and I don't know what that's like. We hear about it. We speculate about it. We think about it. We try to stretch to be able to understand it and to get it. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, that is Jesus, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. See, I don't think there's any glory being held back there. Oh, he's shining, and he's shining bright. And you know how we're going to be able to be around him? We'll have a body like his. We shall see him as he is completely. And you know what? We'll be able to be there because of the Lord's blessing upon his children. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Bodies prepared for eternity. In Philippians chapter 3, I want to take the time for you to read these verses for yourself. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians here. Chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 21. Verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? That's what the brother taught this morning. Verse 21. Who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. You know how we'll be able to be with our Lord? He's going to give us a body like his. And when his glory shines, we'll be able to receive it, be in it, and reflect it. And be there, be able to be there with our Lord. That chastisement of the Lord, how is it going to be at the judgment seat of Christ? Sounds like, well, it's going to be some fiery indignation there. But you know what? We'll be able to stand because of Christ. We'll be able to, well, doesn't not the scripture say that what's built with wood, hay, and stubble is going to burn up? I think the glory of the Lord just shines on, okay, Jim, here's your works. Here's your works as my child. Let's see what tolerates my glory. I'm just saying that in things that we understand. You know what? The gold, silver, precious stones, they remain. That's the building material of our Lord that he's given us. My wood, hay, and stubble burns up. Bodies prepared for eternity. And Isaiah chapter 66, and there's another passage here. That has always got my attention. This chapter of Isaiah 66 is a very interesting chapter. In verse number 23, wrapping up the book, wrapping up the chapter, Isaiah 66, verse number 23, our Lord says, "And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another," you hear that? Every month, every week, "shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord." So there's that principle, one of seven. "And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm," I believe that is their soul, "shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh." They're there. And they are seen. They are never destroyed. Because the Lord says they'll be there from one new moon to the next new moon, from one Sabbath to the next Sabbath. These are those vessels of wrath fitted for destruction. And they are there in torment, in flame of fire, suffering, being destroyed forever, but never, never getting done. How is hell fired? I believe that hell and the lake of fire is fired by the glory of our Lord. We, the children of God, when we are brought into the presence of our Lord, will be able to be there by our Lord's provision. That body, that spiritual, in heaven, we're able to be there in the saving of our souls and that righteousness imputed unto us by the Lord. We can be there in his glory. He can shine forth full power, which with the Lord is infinite, isn't it? And we'll be able to be there, not being consumed. Oh, spots and blemishes and such as that would burn up because that's sin, but not with the children of God. We'll be washed white as snow. And then when the rapture takes place and we're given those new bodies like Christ, then physically we'll be able to be in the presence of our Lord. That time's coming. Because we'll have a body like his when we see him. And you know what? His glory will be able to shine forth. And we will be able to be there in his presence. And not even be warm. But not so with the unrepentant. Not so with the damned. You remember in Ezekiel, those of our membership that were here, and Ezekiel and Brother Isaiah and all those brethren that talk about the throne of God and how there's some coals of fire laying there in an altar under the throne of God Almighty. And the Lord uses some of those coals to purge uncleanness. But you know, we've seen where out of heaven fire and brimstone has rained down upon sinners and their wickedness. How is hell fired? I believe it's fired by the glory of God. They're given a body that is fitted for destruction, eternal destruction. And what it does is it burns at the shining of the glory of God. See, I'm becoming of the opinion, yes, hell and the lake of fire is a place where God is not, yet God is able to not have his presence there that men can know, but yet be there in his power to fire such a place. As the children of God, we need to understand the peril of those unsaved and the terror of hell, that we may warn sinners. We've read this passage in Jude 23, 22 and 23. Others and others say with fear. Now let's go there and read it, because I don't have all of it in my notes. In Jude 23, 22 and 23, we are commanded, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, even hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Our viewpoint of those that are without Christ is to understand and know they've got fire all about them. They've got fire of hell burning underneath them. Their peril is unmatched in anything that they would experience in this life. And you and I are commanded to pull them out of the fire. That's what our Lord says. And save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 11, our brother writes, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Our God is a consuming fire. And knowing therefore the terror, the greatness, the power, the holiness, the glory, the righteousness of our Lord, we persuade men. And we need to persuade them. We need to look to tell them. And how is it that we do so? To know what it says in Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What is it that we have to bring to them? It's what our Lord has told us in his word. What our Lord has told us to proclaim and to give out as his church here at Olmsted. The gospel and the good word of God. That's how we can pull them out of the fire. That's how we can persuade men. And indeed, in the intricacy of it, it's not us, but we are the means. And may we do so. And may we consider those that are without Christ, those that we know of that are not saved, that fire, there is one that's getting ready to fall into the pit of hell. And we need to tell them the truth. Because you know what? We've been given the truth. And we need to tell them, how is hell fired? How is hell fired? I believe by the glory of our Lord.